Okay, so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're at the bottom of page 5, volume 12, 12, 12, 17. My daughter, Louisa. Do you want a simile of the acts done in my divine will? Look up and you shall see the sun, a circle of light containing its limits, its shape. So here Jesus is saying, do you want to know? You see, everything in the divine will follows everything of nature. Do you want a simile, okay, of my divine will? Look at the sun. The light that comes out of this sun is within the limits of its roundness and fills the earth and extends everywhere, not in a round shape, but wherever it finds earth, mountains, seas to illuminate and to invest with its heat. So much so that with majesty of its light, with the benefits, influence of its heat, by investing everyone, the sun becomes the king of all planets and holds supremacy over all created things. So there's nothing greater in our life as the sun. It's when the sun comes out, you smile. When the sun comes out, it's a new beginning. And that's what Jesus is asking. Do you want to know what the divine will is? Look at the sun. See how happy you are? See how it brings light and life to everyone and everything? And so he says this. This is the best part. Now, such are the acts done in my divine will. But there's still more than just the acts, he says. As the creature does her acts, it is small. You're blinking of your eye. It is limited. But as it enters into my divine will, it becomes divinely immense. Why? It's Jesus that's embracing in us. It invests everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It gives light and heat to everyone, past, present, and future. It reigns over everyone, past, present, and future. It acquires a divine supremacy over everyone, past, present, and future. All the other acts of all the creatures has light over everyone, past, present, and future. So you're entering into a divine perspective. You're entering into not a human understanding, but a divine understanding. Now, the saints, they would do good. They would do the acts of God, and they were good and holy and saintly. But this didn't happen. He says, as you enter my divine will, it becomes immense and invests all, gives light and heat to all. It reigns over all. It acquires supremacy over all. All the other acts of all the other creatures, past, present, and future, and it has light over everyone and everything. So what Jesus is inviting us, he's inviting us to begin to live this abundant life. And he's saying to us, do you understand what I'm going to do? You're going to share in my divinity. You're going to be in my image and likeness. That's what God has planned. This is not about a good and holy and saintly thing. It's to enter into a divine perspective. This is why we were created. We weren't created to live like this. Our bodies were never to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. We're not supposed to be food for worms. But what Jesus is saying, I'm going to bring you back to where you were before the fall. When Adam sinned, Jesus said, he repented. He wept all his life, for the rest of his life. 930 years he wept. And he never sinned again. But he only could do the will of God like the saints could do. He never could re-enter into the divine will. That's the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And it took 6,000 years to finally find a soul, Luisa Picaretta, who lived in God's will. That's what Jesus and Mary gave to Luisa. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to share in my divinity. He's giving this to us. We pray this every day at Holy Mass. Volume 12, 12, 27, 18. My daughter, why do you write? Why don't you write? He says, my word is light. When you read each word that Jesus speaks to you, a divine light enters into you. It enters into your intellect, your memory, and your will. He says, my word is light. And just as the sun shines in all eyes in such a way that all have sufficient light for all their needs, so is each one of my words. It's more than a sun in the sky. Every word that Jesus teaches Louisa is more than a son. Now you have to remember, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, it will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. That's the book of heaven. It can be called light sufficient to illuminate any mind and to warm each heart. See, what's happening is we are stuck in misery. We're stuck in sin. Even though Jesus has redeemed us, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, we have to fight daily to live a life worthy of God. And Scripture says all mankind falls short of the glory of God. Everybody does. But with this gift of the divine will, Jesus says, now I'm going to give back to mankind what Adam lost. So he says very clearly, so each word of mine that I give to you, Louisa Picaretta, in the book of heaven, is a son that comes out from God. Now it serves you by writing it, and then it shall serve others. And that's what's happening. Jesus is speaking to us. That's what's so great about reading every day. You're with Jesus every day. How can you not be happy? How can you not be peaceful? You know, it's Jesus that's speaking to us. And you, by not writing Louisa Picaretta, because she would say, I don't want to write anymore. I just want to be with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, by you not writing, you come to suffocate this son that is within me. And you, Louisa, prevent the outpouring of my divine love and all the good that a son could do. So he's saying to Louisa, you've got to get back to writing. And he says to us, you've got to get back to reading. As you read, you enter into this abundant life. No one possessed this. No saint ever possessed this. And when people say, well, where does Thomas Aquinas say about it? What does St. Francis say about it? They didn't know about it. Why? They didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa. And the only place that you can find it is in the book of heaven. Volume 12, 2, 20, 19, 19. The Eternal One looked at the heavens and remained content in seeing the immense harmonies, the communications of divine love that God opened between heaven and earth. Therefore, God moved forward with one single creative word. He created the Son, fiat lux, as the continuous relator of his supreme being, endowing it with light, with heat, and placing it suspended between heaven and earth. Everything, fecundating everything and everyone. What would they do without the sun? I mean, sometimes when it's cold and wintry out and it's dark and it's gloomy, when's the sun going to come out? It's the same thing Jesus is saying. When are you going to let the sun of the divine will enter into you so I can bring you back to where Adam was before he fell? Again, Adam had perfect, perfect DNA. It wasn't corrupted. It was the DNA of the image and likeness of God. Do you understand what that means? And since we fell, this body has to become food for worms. That was never part of God's plan. And he's saying to us, he's asking us, are you willing to allow me, the Lord God, to bring you back to where you were? And we go, how are you going to do this, Lord? He goes, go to the newborn. Go to the firstborn of the divine will. She has everything. And that's why I keep on saying, who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? Who is she? With its searching eye of light, it seems to say to everyone, I am the most perfect creature of the divine being. Reflect yourselves in me, and you shall recognize God. Now, this is the divine will. This is the light of the divine will. Think about this. The light of the divine will seems to say to everyone, I am the most perfect creature of a divine being. That's the light speaking to us. Reflect yourselves in me, and you will then begin to recognize God. He, God, is the immense light. He, God, is the endless love. He, God, gives life to everything. He, God, needs of nothing, has no need of anything. No one can touch God. Look well at me, this light. I remember I told you, go to near-death experiences. They all say, this light was so beautiful. This light was so living. This light led me to God. Look well at me and you shall recognize God. I am only his shadow, the reflection of his divine majesty, the reflection of his continuous relator. So here, God is saying to us, look at the sun. It's just a shadow of God, a shadow of who God is. And now God is saying to us, I want you to participate in divinity. Do you believe this? If you read this and you go, well, I don't know what he means. It means to be a participator in divinity. Now we got to understand, why is he doing this? He's bringing us back to where Adam was before the fall. He redeemed us. Why? So that we could live like this in a body that becomes just old, gray-haired, and wrinkled. Thank God we have to die. Can you imagine what this body would look like after a couple thousand years? Who's that goo over there? Well, that's Uncle George. And we would be nothing. We'd just be a goo. And so what does God do? This body has to die. Thank you, Jesus. I am so happy this body has to die. Why? He's going to give us a glorified body that will never die. And so what he says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and light, find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. God wants us to come to him. And in this time, he is showing us with the book of heaven what he's going to do, the how and the why this is going to take place. Volume 12, 9, 25, 20. My daughter, my truth is life. Jesus is light. Excuse me. My truth is light. Jesus is light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is everything. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. He's our all. Trust no one but God. Fall in love with no one but God. And that doesn't mean to leave your spouse. But make sure you love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. That you long to be with God as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. And in communicating them to souls, this truth of light, they are limited beings. We are limited. But I, God, communicate my divine truths with limited light, since they are not capable of receiving immense light. We're going to enter into that immense light. You wait till you see what God's got planned. However, it happens as to the sun. While up high in the heavens, one sees a globe of light, limited, circumscribed, a light that spreads from it, invests the whole earth, warms, fecundates it. So it is impossible for man to number the planets fundicated and its land illuminated and warmed by the sun. The mankind can see up high in the heavens in the twinkling of an eye, but then he cannot see the light where the light ends up. And the good that the sun does in the same happens to the sons of the truths that I communicate through the book of heaven to souls. This is what God is doing. Inside of them, they appear as limited. But when these truths of the book of heaven come out, how many hearts do they not strike? How many minds do they not illuminate? The illumination of conscience is going to be what Jesus tells Louisa. There's no doubt. The illumination that's coming upon mankind is found in the book of heaven. We who have been reading it for years are going to begin to understand what it means. It's more than what Jesus says. And that illumination of conscience, we're going to go, my goodness, what Jesus has told Louisa is more than what I could ever have imagined. And those that are far from it are going to begin to understand, Louisa possesses this. What's coming is really going to astonish the world. What is coming is the soul who's living, a human living in the divine will. What's coming, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What's it going to be like when you see a human who lives the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the newborn, the firstborn? What is that going to be like? Wait till you see what God's got planned. It says very clearly, The same happens to the sons. The sons of the truths that I, God, communicate to souls through the book of heaven. Inside of them, they appear limited, but then these truths come out. Oh, how many hearts do they not strike? How many minds do they not illuminate? How much good do they not do? This is why you, Luisa, saw me, Jesus, place a globe of light in you, Luisa Picaretta. What does that mean? What does that mean? A human who possesses this globe of light. Our Lady already possesses it. When you look at Our Lady, when she appeared to St. Catherine de Laboure, you know, she appeared holding this globe of light. What does this mean about this human that possesses this? It's not saying that Luisa is equal to Mary. No way. Nobody can be equal to the Blessed Mother. She's Theotokos. She's the Mother of God. What Luisa possesses is the life that Adam lost, that Our Lady has, that Jesus has. It's to re-enter into the divine will. This is why you saw me, Jesus, place a globe of light in you, Luisa Picaretta. These are the truths in the book of heaven that I, God, communicated to you. Be attentive in receiving them, more attentive in communicating them, to give course to the light of my truths. It's through this little newborn that we are going to begin to live again where Adam was chosen to live. That's paradise. Why did Our Lady say to Bruno 73 years ago, 40 days after Luisa died, time has now come to an end? It's the end of this passage of the Lucifer's reign. It's the end. And what's coming, and they're terrified of what's coming. Lucifer and his companions. They're terrified. Remember when Jesus said to the man, what's your name? And he says, Legion. And he says, throw us into the pigs. You know, are you here to condemn us to the pit forever? They're terrified of what's coming. And they know they have been given 100 years. That was the dream of Pope Leo XIII. 100 years to destroy the church and the world, and they failed. Their time is over. The kingdom is coming. What is in paradise? Everything that Adam saw in paradise is still alive. Every animal, vegetable, and mineral in paradise. Nothing dies in paradise. Nothing is inanimate in paradise. We are going to go back to where we're supposed to be in eternity, living in paradise. Don't be focused on this world. If your treasure is here on earth, it's going to go the way of the world. If your treasure is in heaven, Jesus says, it's eternal. And Our Lady said that. She said that to Bruno, she said, my children are going to live in eternity. She says the children of the evil one will be trapped in time and space for all eternity. Get ready. What's coming is magnificent. You have to understand this. Be attentive, he says. These truths, these are my truths that I, God, have communicated to you. Be attentive in receiving them. Them more attentive in communicating them. To give course to what? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. What is that? The light of God's truths. Mark 13, 10, 6, 21. If a man is horrible in the state of guilt, he is also beautiful in the state of grace and of doing good. Adam's guilt turned into sorrow. When you go make a good confession and, you know, you remember things of your past, that guilt turns into a deeper sorrow. You say to Jesus, I am so sorry. And God goes, good. Now, will you say this for everyone and for everything who can't say it at this time? Will you stand in the place for them and say to the Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is the renewal of the face of the earth. And this is, Jesus says this, If man is horrible in the state of guilt, he is also beautiful in the state of grace of doing good. This is what God is teaching us. All sin. Everybody sins. And what Jesus is saying is, come back to me. Come back to me. And this is the state of doing good. This is the beauty that when we recognize our sinfulness. And the other thing, don't condemn anybody. Look at Paul. He was killing the Christians. And God used him. And what God is going to do is he's going to bring everyone back. Why? To live the universal life. To live the Catholic life if they choose it. Don't despair. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Praying for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. We want God to be worshipped and adored and praised and loved in the name of every human being. We want no one to miss out on this. I don't care how bad the state is of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Don't give up on that. Pray with confidence. Trust in Jesus. Trust him. Believe in him. Hope in him. That God is going to take care of everything. He really will. But if you despair, if you are saying, well, it's impossible, God says, well, I give you the opportunity to pray. It's my prayer that you're praying. Trust me. Hope in me. Have confidence in me. You will not walk away discouraged. Good, be even the tiniest, is the luminous point of man. While he does good, he undergoes a celestial, angelic, and divine transformation. And Jesus says, it's more than this. It's a transmutation. Inside and out changes into a completely different element. That's what's coming. He says, his goodwill drags his whole being to one single point. Therefore, good is the thought. Good is the word. Good is the heartbeat. Good is the motion. Good is the step. It is everything. Is light inside and outside of him. Now remember, when the saints have a nimbus, a halo of light around them, it's just a halo of light. The divine will is different. The divine will isn't a nimbus, a halo of light. It's radiating the light of Jesus on Mount Tabor. It's radiating the light of Our Lady at Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. Inside and outside. Inside and outside, not just a little nimbus. God has got great plans. His air is balmy and vital, and whoever approaches him places himself in safety. Everything is light. How beautiful, how gracious, how attractive, how lovable, how striking is the soul in grace, in doing good, so much so that I, God, myself, remained enamored by that soul. Each good that the soul does is one more shade of beauty that the soul acquires. It is the greater likeness to his creator that makes him to be distinguished as God's child, as it is a divine power that the soul puts in circulation. Every good he does is a spokesman between heaven and earth, and they are couriers and electric wires, and that maintain the communications with God. That's being good. Jesus says, I want you to share in divinity. Can you imagine what this is going to be like? No eye is seen, no ear is heard. Volume 13, my only purpose in creating the creature, the only purpose that we created you and me, was that we would do God's holy divine will in everything. We'd never be separated from God. But with this, I, God, wanted to bring into existence new births of myself. When Jesus says be fruitful and multiply, when Jesus says you must be reborn, it's not one time event. He says, I want you to be reborn continuously, never stopping to be reborn. Why? Because it's brand new and it's more beautiful than it was before. That's for all eternity. He says very clearly, I wanted to bring into existence new births of myself, of God. I wanted to make of the soul a portentous prodigy worthy of me and fully similar to God. Not becoming God, but in God's image and likeness. But alas, the first to put itself against me was going to be the human will of Adam. Adam said no. And we've lived in this misery ever since. And now Jesus says, now I have found my newborn, the first human next to Adam who possessed this gift. And he says to Louisa, I can't give this back to Adam. He'll lose it again. But I give it to you, Louisa, that you will never lose this gift. How can that be? Adam lost it and Louisa can't lose it. Louisa possesses the true life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. They can't fall. Impossible. She possesses a life that she can never lose. And Jesus says, do you want this life? And he says, I'll give you the book of heaven. And then he says, read it, study it. I'll show you the way and how this is going to happen. You go to your room, you close the door, and you pray. This is just amazing. Why? To be fully similar to God. But alas, the first put himself against me was going to be the human will of Adam. Take a look. All things are done between two. You have eyes, but if you did not have an external light that illuminates you, you would not be able to see anything. You have hands, but if you did not have the things that are needed in order to form works, you would do nothing. And so with all the rest. Now, this is how I, God, want to sanctify the creature. This isn't holy. This isn't good. This is sanctify, divinely sanctify, the sanctity of sanctities. Between the soul and God, between the two of us, I, God, on the one side and the soul on the other, I, God, giving my divine life and communicating my divine sanctity to the soul as her faithful companion, and she receiving my divine life as my faithful and inseparable companion, never to be separated from God. Do you see what God is doing? This is why we go through the mystical marriage. He is our spouse. God is our spouse. Never, never to be separated. A faithful companion for all eternity. The soul receiving it as my faithful and inseparable companion. In this way, the soul and I, God, will be the sun that gives the soul light. God gives, we receive. He breathes in us, we breathe out back to him, I love you. And we say to Jesus, I want to love the Father as you love the Father, divinely. I don't want to love with my human misery. I want to love God with your divine love. We breathe in that rule of God, we breathe back out that rule of God back to God. It's no longer holy and good and saintly. It's divine. Why? Jesus is doing it. We're allowing him to do this. Vine 13, 11, 12, 21. Now, the sanctity of my divine will shall be symbolized by the Son. Wait to see this. The Son has always been and shall always be it, even though it has had a beginning in illuminating the world, since it is light that took origin from my eternal light, it can be said that it has no beginning. The Son does good to everyone, extends to everyone with its light. It makes no exception with anyone. With its majesty and with its dominion, it rules over everything and gives life to everything, even the littlest flower, but silently, without noise, almost unobserved. Oh, if a plant did a little something, a shadow of what the sun does, giving heat to another plant, all would proclaim a miracle. All would want to see it. All would want to talk about it with amazement. The sun that gives light and heat to everything is the continued miracle. No one talks about it. No amazement. And this happens because man keeps his eyes always down below on earthly things and never up high on the celestial things. Why do you think Our Lady produced the miracle of the sun spinning at Fatima 100 years ago, over 100 years ago now? To get us ready for the divine will. What did the people do? They screamed in terror. They fell on their knees. People were praying the act of contrition. Why? Something extraordinary was happening. Why? To get the world ready for the divine will. You have to understand this. It's everything is in perfect order. Now, the sanctity of my divine will, symbolized in the sun, shall come out from the center of my divine sanctity. Okay, so here we get a glimpse of Luisa. The sanctity of my divine will, symbolized by the sun, shall come out from the center of my sanctity. It shall be a ray delivered by my divine sanctity that has no beginning. So, listen to this. These souls existed in my divine sanctity. These souls exist. These souls shall exist. You see why Jesus keeps on saying, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. Why? These souls existed in my divine sanctity. That's the little children of the holy divine will. Nobody's experiencing this yet, but this is a truth that you have to understand. What God has planned, they exist and they shall exist. That's us. That's what God's plan. I talked about earlier, your mission, your office. This is your mission, your office, from the beginning of time. Why do you think you're alive at this time? Why do you think you have the book of heaven at this time? By some coincidence, by some chance? No, this was planned by God. And we're nobodies. We're nothing. We're the slime at the bottom of the barrel. What is God saying? He's saying to us, listen, these souls existed in my divine sanctity. They exist and they shall exist. From the beginning of time to the end of time. Basically, God is saying, focus on this gift. Make sure you read and you study. Learn what this is about, so that you can accomplish what God wants. Now he says to us, you can do it at 30, 60, or 100 fold, whatever you want. We should be wanting to do this 100%. 100. They were together, listen to this, they were together with me in the good I, God, did. And they never, listen to this, they never went out of the ray in which I, God, had issued them to the light. I don't care what sins you've gone through. Jesus says, come back to me in my divine will and watch what I've got planned for you. When you make a good confession, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. And he says, come to me. Watch what I'm going to do for you. He loves us so much. Like I said, he saved the best for last. This is the best for last. They, that's you and I, were together with God in the good that God did. Let there be light. Fiat lux. Mary's, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. With Jesus, fiat voluntas, the third fiat. We were with God in the beginning. They never went out of the ray. You have to remember, when you go to confession, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. You might have to make temporal punishment due to sin. You might have to go through that. But what's really amazing is everyone sins. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to bring you back to where you were before the fall. That means no sin. That's what scripture says. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what's coming. As they departed from my divine will, see, listen to this. I amuse myself with them and still do. My union with them is permanent. It's never going to end. See, all the Lord is saying is come back to me. Watch what I will do. I see them floating above everything. Human supports do not exist for them. Human supports don't exist for us as well. Just, he says, as the sun does not lean on anything, it lives up high as though isolated, but with its light, it encloses everything within itself. The same for these souls, the little children of the holy divine will. They live up high like the sun, but their light descends to the deepest bottom and to extends to everyone, past, present, and future. What is the illumination of conscience? What's going to happen? Is we're going to see what God has planned for us. But we have to be on the narrow road. And that means sacraments and sacramentals. Don't leave Christ and his church. Always be faithful to Christ and his church. Watch what God is going to do. What grace for you to know it, to be the first, like solar rays, to come out from the center of my divine sanctity. Do we believe this? Or do we believe, oh no, I'm a horrible person. It's not going to happen to me. God says, that's right. It can't happen to you. You don't want this. Oh no, Lord, I'm not worthy. It can't happen to you. You've got to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are Lord God Almighty. Whatever you want is what I want. God goes, good. Get out of my way and let me do this. Without ever detaching from it. Greater grace I could not have given you. More portentous, a miracle I could not operate in you. Be attentive. What is that to us? Read. Be attentive, my daughter. My ray of light. Because every time you enter into my divine will and operate, it happens as when the sun hits the glass, many suns are formed in it. In the same way, you repeat my life, God's life. As many times you multiply it, you give new life to my divine love. You see what God's calling us to? He's calling us to live within himself, to participate in God. That's the reason why we're here. There's no other reason for us to be here. So he says in volume 30, 13, 11, 19, 19, 21, imagine a room in which the shutters are closed. As much sunlight as there might be outside, the room remains always in the dark. Now, opening the shutters means wanting the light, but this is not enough. One does not take advantage of the light to reorder the room, to dust it, to get down to work, almost so as not to kill the light that one is given, but renders oneself ungrateful. In the same way, it is not enough to have the will to know the truths, to have the book of heaven, if the light of the truth that illuminates one does not try to dust himself of his weaknesses, of his passions, reorder himself according to the light of the truths that he learns from Jesus while reading the volumes. The truths this light of truth gets down to work, making of it his own substance in such a way that the light of the truth that he has absorbed may shine forth from his mouth, from his hands, from his bearing. It would be as if he killed the truth by not putting it in practice. It would be like remaining in total disorder before the light. Poor room. It's full of light, but it's all messy. It's upside down in a total disorder. If someone in it does not bother reordering it, what a pity it would not arouse. Such is the one who knows the truths and does not put them into practice. Now, however, know, however, that in all things, truths simply, that in all the truths, simplicity enters as the first nourishment. The divine will is simple. It's Jesus speaking. The divine will is simple. It's God speaking. And you take him for what he says. Don't try to figure out when he says, I want you to enter into this guilt, this divine will. What does he mean? Well, you say, Lord, I want to enter into the divine will. Respond back to him. If he says, I want to show you a new beginning, you say, Lord, show me a new beginning. Whatever he says, it's simplicity. Do what he's asking of you. If the truths were not simple, they would not be light. It would not be able to penetrate into the human minds in order to illuminate them. And where there is no light, objects cannot be distinguished. Simplicity is not only light, but it is like the air that one breathes, that while it cannot be seen, it gives the respiration to everything. And if it wasn't for the air, the earth and everyone would remain without motion. So, if the virtues, the truths, do not carry the mark of simplicity, they shall be without light, without air. The divine will is simple. It's exactly what Jesus says. It's simple. It's for children. Luisa had a first grade education. God speaks to his children. Who does Our Lady appear to? It's children. La Salette, Fatima, Garabandal, Medjugorje, Our Lady always appears to little ones and speaks of this in simplicity. It's the same thing with the divine will. The divine will is simple. Divine 13, 12, 22, 21, he disappeared. But later he came back and added, would you be able to tell me why the sun illuminates the earth? Because it is much greater than the earth. And since it is greater, it has the capacity of enclosing in its light the whole circumference of the earth. If it were smaller, it would illuminate part of the earth, but not all of the earth. So smaller things are enveloped and absorbed by greater things. That's simple. Simple, you understand that. Now, my divine will is the greatest of all virtues. Therefore, all virtues remain shrunken and lost within my divine will. All the virtues of the saints remain shrunken and lost into what God has given to Luisa. You see what he's saying? I want more for you than what I gave to the saints. Why? It's time. Everything is ready. Now, my divine will is the greatest of all virtues, and therefore all virtues remain shrunken and lost within my divine will. Even more, before the virtue of the sanctity of my divine will, the other virtues tremble in reverence for my divine will. And if without it, the virtues think that they could do something great at the contact, listen to this, of the sanctity and power of the virtue of my divine will, they see that they have done nothing. The saints are going to do this. The saints are going to go, how is it possible that a human can share in divinity? See, they were holy and saintly in a human manner. Sharing in divinity. And this is what he says right here. He says, sanctity, power, they will see that they have done nothing in order to give them the mark of the virtues. I am forced, Jesus says, to plunge them, this is us, into the immense sea of my divine will. Not only does my divine will excel over everything, but it gives the different tints of divine beauty to the virtues. It places on them divine tints in celestial glaze, the dazzling light of the divine will. So if the virtues are not covered by my divine will, they may be good, this is the saints, but they're not beautiful of that beauty that enraptures, that enchants, that enamors heaven and earth. You see what God's bringing? He's saying, you love the saints? I love the saints, God says, but I want you to share in my divinity. I did not give this to the saints on earth. Why? It wasn't time. They didn't have Luisa. Now that Luisa is here, now that we have Luisa, Jesus says, I'll teach you how this is done. What is the divine illumination? What is coming? It's what you read in the book of heaven. Don't fall short of what God's got planned for you. He's already told you, you've been with him from the beginning. He's already told you that you are the most precious of all his children. You have to understand, what God has got planned is a new beginning. It's really a new beginning. Volume 13, 130, 22. Ah, my daughter. The truth is light. Jesus is light. Light spreads by itself. But in order for it to spread, it is necessary to make the divine will known. The rest of it shall do, the rest it shall do by itself. Otherwise, it shall remain compressed without good of being able to illuminate and do the course that it wants. So therefore, be attentive. What does that mean? Read. Be attentive. And do not prevent me from spreading the light of my truths to you. Read this. Study this. And I, God, will spread the light of my truths to you. So we'll stop there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.